Hey, here we go. It's 9 past 12. Chad Hartman, Dave Harrigan. Adam's sitting in here. He's having eggs that I thought looked like cauliflower. Where do you stand on cauliflower, by Harrigan? You love cauliflower.
I don't say I love it.
Well, you eat it a lot.
If we have it, it's around. I'll eat it. Yeah. It's a good vegetable to eat. It's smelly.
That's just
good. It's very smelly, but it tastes good.
It's a food that tastes better than it smells, and I do not want a single text on that topic, okay? Don't even start with me, Carter.
Oh,
don't even start. Cauliflower, pro or con?
It has its moments. I do like the cauliflower crust pizza is really good.
That is good.
Yeah. Get out of here.
That is good. What?
Come on. No, it's not really good.
How does it compare with mini Oreos? Peak Oreos.
The thins. Oreo thins.
Thins.
When you just want a thin Oreo.
Yeah. Yeah, like, did you really feel heavy from that one Oreo yet? Thank God.
Too much.
It's just too darn much. All right, Adam's here. You can chime in this one, too. We all have had uncomfortable moments in our past, right? They are unavoidable. So how do we balance that out with when someone is offering up an opinion, if you automatically go back to what absolutely has happened in your past and how it shapes you? Because I'm going to give you a couple examples, and they're tied to the vice president. Because I would say now twice in the last 10 days, I've received texts when we're talking about the vice president, either observations or criticism of Kamala Harris, and I've been told I'm a sexist. And yesterday, it was a very passionate text. I should have saved it. But the texter, female, said, listen, I enjoy your show. I listen to your show. Felt like I wasn't criticizing Trump enough. I'll admit I chortled on that. Adam, I know I've been derelict in criticizing Donald Trump.
You got your MAGA hat on.
Yeah, I'm wearing it right now. But then she was very honest and said, as a black female, I have faced this so much in my life where I feel like I have not been treated the same, that some of your comments, even while respecting your views, sound like other comments that I've heard before. And I thought to myself, I can see how someone would arrive at that position, right? If for some reason, including gender, race, and you feel like, and you truly believe that, and maybe others would look at the situation and say, no, I don't think it had anything to do with that. But it's you, and you faced it, and it's been unfair or harsh or hypocritical. How do you then balance it out when you listen to other criticism of someone who is also a black female? Because I personally believe 1,000% I am not treating Kamala Harris any different because she is a black female. I am praising when I think it's apt. I'm criticizing. And I don't believe at all it's shaping my opinion. But if, let's say, for me, okay, circumstances in my life, in this business, I've been doing this. My first job was in 1988, so 36 years. Every few days, I still get the text or the tweet or the something, you only have the job because of your father, right? Or in my personal life, because of Quentin and the health challenges he has faced, my sensitivity to that. Every one of us listening has something that has been thrown out there or towards us, or we feel like we've been treated different because of something. And so it can be a default It can be accurate. It can be an overreaction when you hear something comparable. How do we separate from that, though? How do we, as the individuals who may have faced this criticism or this position or this comparable situation, and when someone else is in a comparable situation, you say, well, that's just because in this texter's case, and it was a very well thought out text. Well, I pay close attention to that because I'm a black female. What position does that put me in then? I try to convey, as I'm conveying right now, that I don't believe for one second any of this is any of my comments are directed to Harris because she's a female or she's black. Because it can put both sides in difficult spots. And I've talked about this a lot. Adam's talked about it. Dave and I have talked about it a lot. It can't be just about, well, I've never been in that position, so I can't try to identify with that or empathize with that. How do we deal with this when we're the ones in the position where, man, this sounds like exactly why I've been criticized, or this sounds like circumstances that have happened precisely to me, when maybe in this case is not, or you're then the person who's responding to someone and you're trying to be respectful, you're trying to identify that you can't personally identify with that circumstance, and so you're showing respect, but you're also trying to say, but I'm not doing this because of that particular position. I want to see what Dave has to say, what Adam has to say, and what you have to say. Chime in. I would love phone calls on this. I want text. Amplifying this, nuance, criticize, give examples for yourself, whatever you want to say. 651-461-9226. It's the stylesfinancial.com talk and text lines. 651-461-9226.
Time Life presents the Three Tenors.
All right, here's the reminder, everybody. Tom Segura, are you familiar with Tom Segura?
Oh, yeah.
Funny, right?
Yeah.
Funny. He'll work a little blue.
Oh, sure.
Okay. Tom Segura headed to the XL Energy Center. By then, the Wild will have no players left. April 18th. You can win a pair of tickets. You can win. What are you doing that about?
I'd like to give some tickets away on my show.
What is that, Chris or Columbus?
God knows. What are you talking about?
Hey, Mamma Mia!
Tony, you know, those little Sopranos.
You got the Tom Segura tickets.
I'll
give them away.
How do you win the Tom Segura tickets? Dave, it's music theme based. Tom Segura loves talk shows where they have a bumper music theme. You don't have a bumper music theme.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
You have to guess.
Fair point.
Dave Harrigan's bumper music theme. If you think you know it now, you call in. Not you. 651-461-9226. If you are correct, two excellent seats to see Tom Segura at the X April 18th. Okay, you heard me lay out what I said before the segment. What would you like to say about it?
I think when you are being criticized like that, I think a lot of it has to do with your history and what has been that person's history. That's not to say that criticism is fair. I'm not speaking in this specific instance, but if you're a person who has not shown that you rely on or you make criticisms of somebody based on something like that, if your history shows you that is the case, then I think you give someone the grace that, no, okay, you've been fair, even though I've heard that same kind of argument from others.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you the benefit of the doubt that that's not your view. Again, that's not to say that sometimes that criticism is fair, that, no, you're falling back on a trope or a stereotype or something, but I think that plays a lot to do with it.
The individual who interacted yesterday just chimed in also. And I appreciate that.
I hope she doubled down.
Yes.
Double down. Let's cancel Chad.
I won't be specific enough for you, but as a woman of color, there is just a relentless feeling that you have to exceed all expectations at all times. You know our texting. It's just,
yeah.
I don't know. Hopefully we're changes because I want to be super respectful. Let's see. Simply know the amount of time you've spent negative about her campaign is more than commentary about Trump. Is this sexist? I can't prove that. Does it feel sexist to someone like me? Sadly, yes, it does. It feels familiar. I'm going to add parts of this because it just our texts just bounce around. Just being competent and normal and clear is not enough. And you know I don't agree, but I'm your fan. I listen to you every day. Problem speaking, the media times are so harped on by you and other journalists, it just feels like during the Hillary campaign, women are held to a much higher standard. Okay, both of us were critical of Hillary Clinton. Both of us acknowledge we did not vote for Hillary Clinton. Partially for me, was blamed. I thought you ran a poor campaign. I really did. Now, both of us are fairly moderate. Do you feel like, in any way, when you didn't vote for Hillary Clinton, certainly someone who you agreed with more than you agreed with Donald Trump, is there any part of you in your subconscious worried that, am I being harder on her as a female than I am to him?
No. I say that as somebody who, again, like if you look at me in my history, I don't think you could see instances of me being sexist. So I wasn't worried about that, I guess. I didn't really wear it on my sleeve that I wasn't voting for Hillary, but I'm confident that the reason I didn't vote for her had nothing to do with the fact that she's a woman. And I would hope that people would believe me when I tell them that.
That's kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And
what I'm saying is based on my history is of how I've treated women, how I've.
So the other individual who brought this up also listened, and I appreciate that because she flat out called him a misogynist, and I was really bothered by it. I found that offensive, and I brought it up on air. She says ridiculed. I don't believe I ridiculed. I believe I pointed out how much I disagree with it. I pointed out multiple reasons why I don't believe that's true, including the fact that there are females on this show on a regular basis. But if any of the three of us, and Dave, you chime in on this one, any of the three of us had faced something over and over, and over and over again. And sometimes others would, who know us well, who care for us and also want to be objective, there are times when they would agree with us. Other times they would say, no, you're overreacting. And then you would say, by the way, these are my feelings. If you face something repeatedly, I think a lot of us are going to fall back on that. And I don't fault that. But it does put the other side of the equation in a difficult spot because I heard Adam, love both you guys. I don't think for one second you guys are misogynist or sexist anyway. And I think you would answer as affirmative to Adam and I. It puts you in a tough spot if someone says, well, I've faced this. And some of the buzzwords you're using or the phrasing or tone is what I've heard before. And that's why I have this feeling. It puts the other person in a difficult spot saying, why are you judging me in that way because of others who have been unfair to you? And it's solely based either on your gender or your race.
And sometimes you can't help the judge. I mean, if you've, in the case of the texter, if you've heard those words, if you've heard those similar things being put to you or people that look like you or have the same background as you, and you've seen them clearly being used to slight a person or yourself, Of course that's what you're going to think. It's, I mean, that's just human nature to fall back on life experience and say, oh, I've heard this before. Here we go again. How many times have we heard it from Shaletta, who joins the show every single Friday, about the challenges she's faced in her life, being a black woman, now in business, and trying to just, you know, quite literally have people take her seriously.
And we see the text here toward Shaletta, and I probably have blocked, I don't know, 75 texts, which are just flat out racist. That doesn't mean every criticism, Adam, toward Shaletta is from a raging racist. You can have different opinions, and they don't automatically have to be because she's a female and she's a black female.
Right. And I, to be perfectly honest with you, and you brought it up about how criticisms that you continuously get that you're aware of, I think I've seen, worked with you a number of years, I think you've overreacted to a lot of texts or people who've, and you bring that up, and I think you overreact because you, that is on your radar, that certain criticisms that you've faced, that you are very sensitive to that.
Yeah. I agree.
Yep.
I mean, I'm just acknowledging
you can't help
us have that as a part of our past and how we let it go in one ear, out the other. We respond to it.
It's like when I get criticisms that, like, I'm brainless simply because I'm a very attractive, very uber-sexual man, that the things I say
people
on the radio
are telling you that
can't be taken seriously. It hurts.
Yeah. You're more than just eye candy.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
Not just a beefcake.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of beefcake there.
Wow. Is that a heavy joke he just went with there?
That's all right.
I think so. I'm just surprised you're not packing right now.
Maybe I am.
Oh. Okay. On that note, let's hit the button. All right, let's get texts and phone calls. 651-461-9226. Let's start with this one right away. Just came in. Adam, do you feel like you've reached the pinnacle of your career? Is this it right now?
Oh, boy.
October 15th, Tuesday. You just had your show. You're sitting in another show.
Might have been yesterday at this time. We're thinking about that Christopher Columbus bit.
Wondering
if the Italian Anti-Defamation League would be on the phone with me by the end of the day.
Is this it?
No. I hope not. They might have already come years ago.
What would you say so far has been, if you had to identify, the pinnacle of your career?
Jeez. Honestly, I don't really have an answer for that. I don't know. I have to.
How about something in your job you're most proud of here, Town Square? Not personal. Let's do both. Let's do professionally and personally, because you clearly told us yesterday you have no idea why you had your two daughters.
But that is easily the most, my proudest moment.
Even though you're not sure. Even though you're not sure.
I can't answer the question as to why, other than it's time to have kids.
He doesn't know why he had kids.
It's fair. I like
the honesty. Other than the thing to do.
Other than, well, I guess that's the next phase of life.
But there wasn't some grand answer to it.
How about this one? I want to.
Well, yeah, I wanted to, but it's like I couldn't really answer why.
Well, that's what I love when you see who are like societal pressure forced me to.
Right, but I didn't have some grand answer like, oh, I want to bring a beautiful life into the world. It was just the thing to do.
You just wanted to have sex.
Well, you can do that without having to have kids.
Yeah. There's some people in this town that need to be told that, by the way.
Yes.
Might be well known.
Correct.
Hey, a condom. Okay.
Underrated.
Yes.
Professionally, I don't know. You know, there's a lot of news stories that I've covered, and that I'm certainly proud of the work I did, and nothing really stands out as to overall, like, man, that was it. That was my best moment.
I would say the two of us, because I can think of something, but the two of us working together, I think some of our election coverage has been really good. And I think as January 6th evolved right in front of us, I thought our coverage was outstanding.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really do. And I love the chance to cover stories when they're happening,
yes,
right then and there. Many times they are events which you wish were not taking place.
Yep.
But then we're in this job And so can you do it in the most professional, detailed, non-hyperbolic, but emphasizing the gravity of what's taking place?
Yeah, and generally speaking, that is something that I was thinking of, is that, and again, not a specific instance, but a moment where, like when I started at this station as a just a reporter, seeing anchors and professionals come in here and be able to sit in here without commercial breaks and cover a breaking news story, to be able to then do that. Like another example, the Derek Chauvin verdict is another example of that, I think. So, that I would point to that.
The other day on the Adam and Jordana show, I think it was Monday, when Alex pointed out that in the NBA, they've now allowed fans.
Yeah.
You came out in favor of that.
Absolutely.
Of course, all the fans were famous.
Yes.
It was three individuals who really have not received any notoriety at all.
Who's heard of Jack Nicholson?
Spike Lee, Billy Crystal, and Jack Nicholson. I was hoping he'd say, how about some fans who get into the NBA All-Star game who aren't just automatically mega stars? So then I'm home last night, and I get a text from this man. Enough of Fireman Ed.
Yes, Fireman
Ed. Wait a second. So he's all four in the NBA, the famous people being recognized. But then Fireman Ed, who's just a regular.
Enough.
He's one of us.
Yeah.
He just wants stars. Where was John Stewart, apparently, last night? You wanted to see
Fireman Ed, do your thing. We just don't need to see it. Like, because it was the same thing when the Jets played a couple weeks ago. Like, they kept the camera on him way too long.
Oh, they never did that with Jack at all, either. Did they, or Spike Lee?
No. But what I'm saying is, like, it was just. Enough already. Come on. Fireman Ed.
J-E-T-S.
Yeah, we get it.
Yeah. He hates firemen. I mean,
I love firemen.
Kids, dogs, balloons, and firemen.
He's pro fire.
Exactly. He feels like fire has not been given its proper credit. Adam, I'm reading your text here. Excellent ones coming in. 651-461-9226. If you were running for an office, which one would it be?
Oh. I cringe to think about running for any kind of office.
God, I would love it because I have so many texts from you. I have so much dirt on you.
Oh, of course. That's which is why I. Of course, nowadays, I mean, come on. There's no. This guy was president. I mean, come on.
Exactly. Might be president again in 3 weeks.
Yeah, right. Something minor. Like a
city council?
Ceremonial position.
You know. Oh, come on. How about city council?
I don't know. That's a lot of meetings.
It's a lot. Okay, you're going to have to.
I want something where there's not a lot of meetings, okay? Just kind of a figurehead.
By the way, this guy didn't have any meetings until about noon because he was watching TV.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good. Downtown yesterday.
Sheriff. I'd like to run for sheriff.
Oh, my God. So, okay. Good luck to that town. So yesterday, I went to my father's office at the Star Tribune for the first time since he passed away. I brought Q. We went through stuff. If you'd like to have any of the baseball media guys from 2016, 17, 18, and 19, call me. I've got them for you. We got some pictures. In fact, there's one great picture I posted on Twitter today. Captain Morgan and a couple of attractive women. And it looks like my father is auditioning for the Rockettes.
He's got the leg up, the Captain Morgan pose.
The leg is going up. It's not the first time I've had a chance to see this photo, but I thought it would be good to post it there. So if you want to see a very amusing photo of my father at Chad Hartman Show. So we're there, and then we're leaving town. We're leaving downtown. Apparently, I showed some backbone, like some texters suggested you don't show backbone towards Minneapolis, even though you're down here 5 days a week and also socialize down here, but no backbone. And I'm driving by, and I see the loons open.
Yeah.
I see the loons open, and it's a Monday, and so I go to the loon. I love the loon lives up to the hype every time. For what it's doing is great. Well, then I'm reminded, because we were talking about it, Sabrina Carpenter. Sabrina is there, Espresso and all the other hits. And it's another reminder of the commitment women of all ages will make to clothing compared to men. And there's just no comparison, because what does Sabrina wear? She wears the dress, the short skirt, right? The number of young girls who, on a day when it was getting colder by the second, were committed to dress like Sabrina. Here's how committed we are. If it's hunting, if it's a game, it's a suit, if you're wearing a suit, we're not as committed to coldness as women are to buy into the outfit or the outfit for that event. Are you as committed as most women for your outfit, even if you're going to be very chilly?
No, there have been cases, including my photo of the you have of me when I was the Messiah, Jesus, for a Christmas bar crawl.
Yes.
Which was quite blasphemous. I get that.
I was with someone the other God, when did you call me? You called me a couple weeks ago. And all of a sudden this picture pops up, and it's you as Jesus, and it says Stumpy Scumbag. And the person was just,
what on earth?
What are you? Is Jesus calling you? You know, okay.
That was a very, very cold night.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, putting jacket over the.
Your legs were not exposed. Your arms were not exposed.
But though. It was a very thin, you know, I don't know what you call that.
Well,
fabric.
You should. Is that what Jesus called it?
But I had long underwear on underneath that.
Dave, are you with me?
But you're right. You're.
The commitment to the outfit is impressive.
Oh, it is. And women will buy something and they will spend serious money on it, knowing full well they're going to wear it one time. You know, for a wedding dress, being a bridesmaid, going to a high school dance, prom, whatever. Whereas men, we rent that tux.
Yeah.
Or we'll, you know, at this
Which
point
is
now,
gross,
it's,
by the way.
You know, buy a nice suit, you can wear it for the wedding, and then you can wear it, you know, 18 times after
and,
that.
And when you live in this godforsaken climate starting in January, and you're wearing the dress.
It's commitment.
That is commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, women tougher than men.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a given. 46 past 12, we're right in the middle of Ask Adam Anything. Let's keep the text, and we can take a call or two also. 651-461-9226. The callers and listeners were all over the theme today. Off the first song, the first caller won the Tom Segura tickets.
Very well done. Two callers, boom, boom, knew
boom,
it.
Boom.
Unfortunately, number two, just a little bit slow on the dial.
Yeah. Adam knows that. You want to tell people the theme, the bumper music theme today, and the fact that we're going to play it tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday?
Yes, different themes throughout the week. But today's, we started with Pavarotti bringing us Ave Maria. And that, of course, I mean, that was the leadoff for the Trump dance party last night on stage at the rally in Pennsylvania.
We're gonna get, we're gonna get to that on a little bit of a political roundup, starting at 1:05. So you'll hear the other tunes, but the tickets are gone. But again, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday,
we can still dance like Trump.
Yes,
as the music goes, get the arms up,
or Christy. Yep. more text coming in. Adam, be a superstar on a poor team or below average on a championship team?
The latter, for sure. I don't mind being like below average. I mean, average maybe.
That's not the question. That's not the question.
So, in other words,
you're not playing.
Not playing.
So, I mean, if you're below average and it's a championship team, you're probably not playing, right?
Right.
So, you can be a star on the team that doesn't make the playoffs, and you're recognized as one of the best players in that league.
Yeah.
High school, college, rec league.
I mean, financially, clearly, the benefits would be the superstar, but I'm a team guy.
You buying him?
Which sport? That makes a difference.
Yeah, totally.
If you're the third string QB, if you're, you know, hold a clipboard guy and you can just watch Brady win me championship after championship.
If you're on a hockey team, like a fourth line player on a hockey team, you're still going to see a little action.
Well, that's
like you on a Friday night.
Yes.
if it's a football team, but you know, you mean I don't have to get crushed every week?
Yeah, if
I don't
the
have to deal with any injuries,
right,
and I still get the rings?
Yeah, but the guys who are playing the other positions, they want to be crushed. So again, below average, I think it also matters the level. Okay, high school.
I was thinking professional.
Okay, but let's go high school. I mean, South St. Paul, they don't win anything, do they?
Not when I was there.
Yeah. Okay, so would you rather be, you were a pretty darn good high school player.
He knows the game.
Knows the game.
At a high level.
Pete will tell you that. Would you rather be a stud for South St. Paul or a backup St. Thomas and you only play when it's a blowout, but you win the title?
I'd rather be the stud.
You'd rather be the stud, see? College, does that change?
Yeah, college, I think I'd still rather be the stud.
You'd rather be the stud. But in the pros, that's when you become a team
guy. I'll take the ring.
Yeah, I mean,
give me the Jostens ring. It's like three sizes too big.
Because
I can wear it at some job later on. Super Bowl winner.
Because early on, he's like, I'm a team player. That'll be my high school college. Not really.
Not so much.
No. I'm really not. Adam, what on earth did Cher ever see in Sonny?
Sense of humor. Funny guys are all – women love funny guys.
Correct. What is Adam's most beautiful word in the dictionary? And is it tariffs, just like a certain former president?
The most beautiful word.
You got to finish. Just the former president just said on TV. Apparently Trump in this economic event in Chicago said tariffs is the most beautiful word. And he's also confused by it because I'm sure China is still going to just say, oh, no, tariffs. We won't pass along any of the cost to anybody else.
Yeah.
What is the most beautiful word?
Abundant.
Abundant.
I love the word abundant.
Mm-hmm. Adam, who at WCCO reminds you most of Big Lou?
Me.
You are closest to Big Lou. Adam, is A-Raj done, wrapped up?
Yes.
For where he was, he is.
Yeah.
Right? Is he, okay, if we said the middle of the league, the 16th best quarterback, is he that person or is he above it or is he below it?
I think he's slightly, no, I thought he's middle of the pack.
Donald Trump, is he above or below?
16?
Yeah.
I think he's below.
Yeah. I think he is. Okay, like Kirk as an example. Kirk, I felt like when he was here, 10th, 11th, 12th, who would you rather have to win a game tomorrow, Kirk or A-Rod?
I posed that to a group of people last week. I think I'd take Kirk.
Harrigan, right now, who would you rather have?
Aaron.
You'd rather have Aaron?
Yeah. I think he's still got enough in the tank.
I lean Kirk. Because I think even if you look at Aaron's last year in Green Bay, wasn't very good. And then you had the Achilles. Now they silver platter him, Devontae. How many former teammates does he need? Was he with Chewy? Was he with Horning? I mean,
John Kuhn.
I mean, can we get the ghost of Lombardi?
Amon Green.
Honestly, it never ends. A guy was found today after spending 2 months in the ocean on a dinghy. How long does Adam Carter last in the ocean?
Oh, man.
On a dinghy.
Not long. Yeah, I read a book about a guy who was spent 430 days. Went fishing and his motor broke, and an unbelievable story. It's amazing what the human body can tolerate.
Was
the
he,
human mind?
Was he a skilled outdoorsman? So he knew what to
Not
do?
Really. There's a book. It's a fascinating book about how he.
Like it's called a movie, Castaway. Are you familiar with it?
Wilson,
I have made fire.
Was that Jack?
Another super fan right there. 400
I think the title of the book is 439 Days, I believe. He was able to cap. It was two guys initially, and then one guy died. And, yeah, it was not good. It worked out well for him in the end. But
yeah. How long would you last?
I'd be fine.
You'd be fine no matter the amount of time. You know, just leave me out here
I'll figure it out.
Oh, my. Josephson would be fine.
Yeah.
He'd love it.
Right.
That's probably what he's doing, actually, right now on his trip.
Jeez. This is it, by the way. Iceland.
Yeah.
No food on the flight.
No meal service. I have to bring my own.
You going to send us a couple pictures?
Oh, sure.
Have a great time.
Thank you.
Adam, going on a, is this Colette?
Colette, you bet.
Colette trip. So have a fabulous time. Your Lindner's construction time. It's time to get free installation labor on Minnesota-made Infinity from Marvin Windows. The election is 3 weeks from today. Let's discuss when we come back.